This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It is time now for the C-Note, the Cowboys news of the evening. Wolchuk has Bill Barnwell's ESPN insider here. He posted 12 deals that make sense here in the NFL with a trade deadline approaching. We'll get to that. We have some bi-week stock reports, stock up, stock down. How many Cowboys, anybody, would you actually think about giving stock up to? Can you find one?
I got
we'll get
one.
To that here.
I got one on my mind.
In just a minute.
We'll get to it in a minute.
We got Stars hockey going on tonight. We have Dallas Mavericks preseason basketball. We'll not get a dress rehearsal as Luka is not playing, but it'll still be fun to check it out. Here's Wolchuk to kick off this C-Note with some trade ideas.
All right, here it is. Bill Barnwell.
Wolchuk, real quick, is hockey on? Can we get that hockey?
Yeah, I did. We can't because it's a Victory Plus thing, and we don't have a Victory Plus channel.
We don't have that
here.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
I mean,
thanks,
you.
Wolchuk.
You know,
thanks,
Wolchuk. If you have the Victory Plus app, you absolutely can watch it. Unfortunately, that's
We can't get it on our TV.
We can't do it on the Dish or the direct
okay,
TV.
Got you, man.
Can't do that, or else I'd put it on there for you. I'm sorry, buddy.
Do I need to bring in a Fire Stick or something?
We might need to do that.
Yeah, get that Victory Plus app going.
We'd be set up. We'd be set up nicely with that.
Jeez.
All right, here's the deal for your Dallas Cowboys. It does involve a running back. This is courtesy of Bill Barnwell. Cowboys move for a running back with intriguing tools. 2025 sixth rounder is what you're giving up to get this guy. Okay? You all right with that compensation for a running back, guys? I know you guys are real watchdogging when it comes to the running backs.
Yeah, so
that part of it?
We're giving up a six-round pick.
Six-round pick for him.
So for a guy that can help us this year, do some big stuff?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody's doing big stuff for you.
You could give him Emmitt Smith in his prime. Emmitt Smith in his prime wouldn't make this team a contender, Wolchuk. As much as that might hurt you.
Speak for your damn self, okay? I think absolutely he'd run them to the playoffs, Gavin, but that might just be me and my love for Emmitt. It's Khalil Herbert of the Chicago Bears. Now,
he's been casted out?
They've got kind of a dominant running back duo, according to Barnwell, already with DeAndre Swift and Roschon Johnson, both better than Khalil Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
So Herbert's played just 27 offensive snaps through six games. He hasn't touched the ball since week three. His contract expires at the end of the season, so he's likely a guy that they would be very willing to part with. Herbert has 24 runs for 13 or more yards during his first three seasons with the Bears, so he's explosive.
Friend of the show. He joined us at Super Bowl Radio Row.
I really enjoyed hanging out with him, too. I thought he was a fun guy to talk with. So I'd welcome a Khalil Herbert reunion, but again, like, is this a dude that's totally moving the needle for you? Not really.
I don't like the idea of punting on any draft pick for a guy that's just a rental in a year that you're not.
He's not a workhorse back either.
Right.
Like, he's a guy that would work in a tandem. He does average 4.9 yards a carry over the course of his career.
He played a lot of special teams plays.
So he would do that where Deuce Vaughn can't.
I'm talking to his agent and I'm saying, what kind of a contract are we looking at? Because he's also done with his rookie deal after this year, right?
Yes.
4.9 an attempt. If my scouts believe it is likely he can produce 4.5 for us, and he doesn't want, like, a huge running back contract, I'm intrigued by this. You know, this is the kind of running back that you want, but it comes down to cost certainty into the future.
You know, a guy that I'd like more that is also being traded here on Barnwell's list, but he's being traded to the Raiders, is Kendre Miller from TCU. Yeah.
That's an injury bug guy to this point.
Yeah, he's in year two, and he did miss half of his rookie season with an ankle injury. But he did have 73 yards in the season finale. Now, since then, he just doesn't get on the field. I don't know if he's in Dennis Allen's doghouse.
He's in the dog. Anytime I see Dennis Allen talking about him, and it's been probably since the preseason, but it was like always, I just wish he could actually be out here performing.
Yeah. But I know the Cowboys had interest in him, and I thought his tape was really good. I mean, I liked Kendre Miller, the balance. I mean, he's a guy that can do a little bit of everything for you, can be a three-down back. Certainly, I mean, when you're taking a player on via trade, there's probably some warts, and the warts would be the injury concern, right? but he's just in year two and he's on his rookie contract. So if that's the guy that is available, and according to Barnwell, he thinks he is, he's got Andrews Pete being traded to the Saints, and in return, Kendre Miller goes to the Raiders in this trade. I'd rather take a flyer on a year two dude from TCU, Kendre Miller, than Khalil Herbert.
I think he might be actually making his season debut tonight.
They probably don't have an option.
With all the injuries that they're dealing with. So maybe we'll get to see Kendre Miller in all of his glory.
Maybe
tonight.
In an audition.
You gotta be up for anything. I'm more with Chief though, especially a guy that's been in the NFL 41 carries last year for under 4 yards an attempt. You know, I need something to get excited about, like the 4.9. I'm like, oh, okay, well, keep this guy healthy, keep Khalil Herbert healthy, and you have a running back, maybe a star running back if you can find a good offensive line and a balanced offense to plug him into. You know, that kind of stuff is exciting. I just don't know, you know, like I didn't say it in jest. I genuinely mean it. I think you could go get the best running backs in league history right now and plug them in now. So none of my draft capital is going to try to save this year. It's got to be about the long-term future. We got stock up, stock down here, bye week edition on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Are there some stock up dudes for you? It might be hard to find. I mean, it seems like the rookies are either hurt or just like scrambling trying to survive out there. Blogging the Boys, I think they did 6 different entities, including Jerry Jones, and they start with Dak Prescott. Stock down. The stock is so depressed at this point, you have to wonder, you know, would they have still done the deal if they knew with certainty that the year was going to start out like this?
I think that's why your owner's mad.
You know, and if that's the case, right, not only do I have to sit through this year, but for the next 4 years, we have a quarterback who desperately needs us to give him great protection, great weapons, and a running game, and by the way, a good defense if we're going to get this thing done. And that's just not how we team build, you know. So, yes, is Dak's stock down for me personally? Not really. I mean, he's just what I've understood him to be for the majority of his career.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think you've learned anything new about Dak through the first 5-6 games of the season at all. I mean, this is exactly the player that you knew that you were signing. This is not, I mean, we've seen this offense do the same thing a year ago this time. We were talking about the same issues, that it's old, it's simple, it's predictable, there's no creativity. And then they did come out of the bye and things looked a little bit different. Now, my understanding is that was a Dak Prescott resolution. He took a lot on his plate and said, I'm changing this up.
It was also with a better left tackle, center, and right guard, you know, if you considered that Zach Martin was younger. Like, sure, the scheme, but the scheme wouldn't fix this.
No, but we've seen quarterbacks with bad offensive lines play solid football. Hell, Joe Burrow went to a Super Bowl with historically one of the worst, if not the worst, offensive lines ever. I don't know that I'm going to blame the offensive line entirely for your quarterback's production, right? I think that's...
I know I overrated him.
Yeah, but you knew. You're starting 2 rookies. You knew the offensive line wasn't going to be amazing.
I didn't realize the learning curve for your left tackle was going to be that deep. And then, you know, like I said, I think if you think of a stock up, I think the center's a stock up player.
Yeah, I think BB's been fine.
Cool. Anybody else stock up? Overshown?
Overshown was who I was thinking. I think Overshown's a stock up.
And Jordan Lewis. For the
Jordan
way he's
Lewis.
Played.
I think Hunter Lipke's played stock up. For you when he's getting opportunities.
I mean, I think you could look at Mozzie Smith, like his stock got delisted last year. They took it off the NASDAQ to protect investors, and now he's back. You know, now he's at least a
low cap
stock. You know, you don't know about that one, not up at all.
No,
no progress at all.
No, I think that's if we did Mozzie Smith on the road or fork in the road, I think he's fork in the road guy.
Totally.
Mm. Yeah.
Marshawn Nealand went healthy?
Yeah. Stock up guy. That's a shame. That kid was going the right way. He really, really was. And he was figuring out how to rush the passer too, which I didn't believe that he could do right off the jump, but he did.
Stock down Mike McCarthy. They point to the fact that he kicked a field goal down 34-6. People will say it was 4th and 12, but the score was 34-6. You're down 28 points. I don't know about that. You know, I do think his stock is definitely down. There was a chance that I think if they had managed to win 11 or 12 games and win the division and go to the playoffs, the fact that he would have won double-digit games 4 years in a row and continuously made the playoffs, I think that would have won his job back. But with how far this team has fallen, you know, I don't know how you could justify keeping Mike McCarthy. I think the only real justification is to say this is about as good as we could hope for from the Jones boys hiring process. You know,
God, I hope not.
If we're going to lead a full scale, wide scope head coach search to find the right guy who's got, for all the right reasons, you know, he's Bill Walsh in 1982, just ready to step into your football team and take you to the next level. He's Jimmy Johnson in 1989, just ready to come from, you know, if we're going to go find that guy, I think we could be excited about, Ben Johnson? Yeah, is it Bobby Slowick?
Yeah.
But it's going to be like, who do they hire? You know, Mike Zimmer, Rod Marinelli.
They're gonna get Mike Vrabel's gonna end up being the coach.
Yeah, I could see the Vrabel. And honestly, I'd prefer the Vrabel than Belichick, in my opinion. I'm just nervous that, like, Belichick, I don't know that it's, I don't think anything positive is coming from him anymore. I think the game's kind of maybe moving on there. But Vrabel is one of those dudes that would come in and demand accountability, right? He's kind of your Dan Campbell-esque in that regard. Had a lot of success in Tennessee, really did. Went to a conference championship game, so. Yeah.
He's going to want to play old school as bleep, though. Fans should be miserable if that's
well,
the hire.
It will depend on his offensive coordinator hire. That's the big thing.
As long as Smith stays at Pittsburgh as the OC, you're probably not going to.
I mean, he had LaFleur before the Packers stole him.
Yeah.
So when he went to Tennessee, that was his OC. If he can do something like that again, you might be okay.
All right. Stock down Zach Martin. I think the question is, how down is the stock?
I think there's injury there.
Injury, okay.
The back. I don't think the back is right with him.
Dude, if you have a bad back, you cannot play physically at all. Yeah. I mean, my back's been barking at me all week. If somebody breathes at me, you know, a little aggressively, I feel like it's rocking my core. So maybe that's the explanation. I do feel like, though, with his contract wrapping up, and the Cowboys needing relief, him being at that point in his career, we're probably watching the end of yet another Hall of Fame Cowboys career with very limited postseason success. Stock down Trayvon Diggs as well. How down are we? We knew the guy couldn't tackle. We knew he gave up a big plays every now and then. Maybe he's struggling to come back from the injury a little bit. Are you concerned that maybe Trayvon Diggs can't live up to this contract?
I would say right now, yes, I would be concerned because to me, that where he's really, really struggling, I don't think it's so much physically. It's like with his technique. You know, when you play press coverage and you miss a jam and, you know, that guy runs right by you and you struggle to catch up. And we talked about in the third down play against the Ravens, you know, he's got to make that play. He's got to drive on the ball. He's got to read it, drive on the ball, and knock that ball loose. That's why you're the number one corner. You know, you got to find ways to make plays. He hasn't made nearly enough plays for this season. I know through the first six games, I'm worried about him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, let's not forget he was a former wide receiver. He tackles like a receiver.
Yeah.
You know, like he does. Yeah. It's not his MO. It's not like he grew up hitting people. This dude was a receiver.
Yeah.
And he was athletic enough to pull it off, but now an ACL injury combined with the fact that he has no interest in tackling anybody despite making $100 million in his contract.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That is part of the epitome of, like, what is wrong. You're paying dudes as cornerstones of your team, and they got no fight, no care in the world. It's like, I got my bag, and I'm good, dude. I'll see you on Micah's podcast on Monday, and we'll be cracking jokes about stuff after Jameson Williams just went yard on me, and I was shying away from David Montgomery for four quarters.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there. I think, again, that's why the owner's probably, general manager's probably a little upset. You know, the guys that he earmarked as those players are not playing up to the level they need to play.
Other stock downs, Terrence Steele. That one hurts really bad.
Yep.
You know, all the money spent there with a guy that just has not been the same. And even when he was supposedly at the peak of his powers, I felt like he was a decent player in the run game, but put Dak under pressure a lot in the passing game. They thought that was worth $18 million a year, and we'll see if they can, you know, get out of that. I guess they have a decision next year. Would they rather eat $13 million of dead cap and waive Steele, be done with it? Mm-hmm. I think that would be my suggestion. Mm-hmm. Or do you want to just, you know, keep opting in and paying him $18 million a year, and you might be able to get out of that after 25 or maybe even after 26?
It was one more year.
One more year?
One more year, yeah.
Stock down your guy, Mike Zimmer?
Yeah. Mike will, you know, Mike is, I thought things would be more buttoned up with Mike. It really hasn't been. They've given up some, you know, they've struggled with injuries. They've got some young players playing. That's no excuse. Mike will tell you that. They haven't been good enough on defense. They really haven't.
Okay, and then the final one, obviously, Jerry Jones as the GM of a football team that is currently in a downtrend with no relief in sight. You don't have to mention anything other than the status of his football team and the fact that he's a GM, and it's leaking talent, and it is apparently lost its ability to draft incredibly well, which they could hang their hat on for the better part of a decade. That has now kind of hit the skids over the last 2 years. Okay, sports hodgepodge coming up next, Chief. Where are you taking us?
The Kirk Herbstreit effect is here. It's real.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's bad.
He's going to kick it away, and it'll be another touchback. Yep, no, Turpin's bringing it out 9 yards deep. From the 15 to the 20, to the 35 right sideline, 50, 40, 30 and out of bounds.
Look at that. They ran a fake reverse there to C.J. Goodwin.
Cowboys replay brought to you by Ciroc. Please drink responsibly. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by Soda. And the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com, and let's have a sports hodgepodge. Here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. We got to get our popcorn ready collectively for a particular one-on-one matchup on this glorious football Sunday. And we'll get to that here in just a second. But, man, my heart goes out to Black and Gold B right now. I'm feeling for him because he's got that sort of delusional hope,
yeah.
That rabid hope.
Yes.
In his fans, like, you know what, in his team, like, no, all week he's been just hating his football team. They put up a disgusting performance defensively versus the Buccaneers on Sunday. He's probably in his own mind just been mother bleeping them, and then all of a sudden now we're inching closer and closer to kickoff, and his quarterback in his second starts throwing to Bub Means, Cedric Wilson, and some guy who we've also never heard of, like Mark Tipton or something. And some way, somehow, Black and Gold B is still texting in right now saying, I'm starting to get pumped for this game tonight. Think our defense is going to show back up.
Now, he did say that if anybody wanted to take the Saints.
Guard your heart, dude.
If anybody wants the Saints for Survivor, he would end up doing the bet payoff.
Yeah, you need to guard your heart. And I won't do that to Black and Gold B. I know how bad of a place that he's in.
I'm not doing it either.
How many Yinglings deep do you think he is right now?
Oh, that's got to be at least five Yinglings talking.
Come on. He got out of work early a little bit today, fired up.
I don't know if you're
the Sean Payton revenge game.
The fan kind of does start to creep in.
It does. That's what I'm just trying to, like.
I've been where he is.
Yeah,
I know the Cowboys.
That's how you can recognize
it. Yeah. They've got absolutely no business winning a football game. And then all of a sudden you're man, guys are looking like they're locked in tonight. I can kind of see it in the pregame warmups. They're feeling themselves a little bit. I think we're going to end up having a hell of a football game, huh? We're going to do this. We're going to shock the world.
They tease you.
Loss.
Yeah.
It's straight
you have loss. 11 games to go, Black and Gold. And all Saints fans, I think you just you comfort yourself knowing that at 2-4, at least you're way better than the Cowboys.
Love you, Black and Gold, and good luck tonight. It's you versus Walchuck, man.
Yeah.
This is an all the marbles game.
I hope you're taking a big fat L so I don't have to do a bet payoff. But okay. Because I picked him, it might help your chances.
This is a crazy bet payoff pick, though.
I mean, it's wild.
A rookie quarterback going on the road Thursday night football. I mean, the winning odds have to be around 20% at
best.
But
he's playing against a team who's also playing a quarterback that's a rookie in his second start, and they've got two offensive linemen out. They're starting two receivers are out. I mean, they're banged up and battered. I'm just praying. But when you're doing your bet payoff, you're going to be thinking, I bet on Bo Nix and the Broncos.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. But when else am I ever going to take the Broncos? I'm burning a team that I'll never pick. This is probably their best chance of winning. Yeah,
and you're that could be 3D chess right there.
Hopefully they don't burn you.
The odds are they will.
Well, we have a big matchup on Sunday between the Packers and the Texans. That's right up there.
It's a juicy football game.
Totally is. And one thing that I had forgotten about was the rivalry between Stephon Diggs and Jair Alexander, wide receiver corner matchup. Packers-Bills.
It's been a while.
We go back, I believe, just a couple of years when those two were jawing at each other in the tunnel. Mm. And they had quite the back and forth throughout the game. And then I believe Jair Alexander and the Packers got the better of this particular one. And
so I guess this must go back to their NFC North days.
Good call. But because I bet that's probably where it started. But it really started to boil over whenever Stephon Diggs was with the Bills and the Packers played against each other. And there was a ton of jawing back and forth at one point in the tunnel. And so after the game, this was Packers corner Jair Alexander.
In the tunnel before the game, when you guys yawning at each other going on the field?
Ah, man, I was just keeping it real with him. Told him he couldn't mess with me here, little boy. So that's all that was. Just being honest, you feel me? That's all I can do.
No doubt. That's all you can do, Jair. he said, I told him he couldn't mess with me, and he a little boy. So that particular matchup there, and there's no Nico Collins. This needs to be a big Stephon Diggs game. It does, and my gosh, I don't know if there's a quarterback that's shouldering the load more for their offense right now than what C.J. Stroud is doing.
You just forget about Tank Dell?
Well, yeah, Dalton for sure. But this is like a
Joe Mixon's back, baby.
This is an earn your money game for Stephon Diggs, dude. Because I think Nico Collins in this game would be a huge factor. Two explosive offenses, but the one of the main reasons why the Texans have been so explosive is because of Nico Collins.
Yeah, he was leading the league in receiving for sure before he got hurt.
Yeah,
he's been a hell of a player.
Yeah. So, anyways, just Stephon Diggs versus Jair Alexander, an added layer of what is already going to be an extremely fun matchup.
Man, just doing a quick search in X on the. Too. There was a play that year, actually of 2023, where I think it's Adam Thielen lined up in a stack with Diggs, and Jair comes up. It's one of those screens where you're throwing to the receiver behind the receiver. He knocks Thielen back into Diggs. It's one of the most disrespectful plays you would have ever seen from a defensive back. He got two bodies in one.
Yes, yeah. I do remember that play. Stephon Diggs is running around all over the place after he falls down, but he still ends up losing a bunch of yards on the play. Yeah, that was a big boy play right there out of Jair Alexander. And he's still a stud corner, and he's hilarious with the trash talk. So that's going to be a fun one. Okay, the Kirk Herbstreit effect, just how real this is. We know about his dog.
Yeah, it's adorable.
That gets granted. Ben? Yeah, old Ben. Well, now everybody is like trying to ride that Kirk Herbstreit wave, and this is the
bring
problem.
The dogs
now.
To work.
Kirk's a bit of a he's a tastemaker, he's a trendsetter, and so here's Rick Pitino tweeting out a photo of his dog sitting on his lap in his coach's office, and he tweets out, "Took a page from Kirk Herbstreit, took my Gigi to practice. What a disaster. Peed all over the basketball court.
Oh.
Never again."
That's the worst place to do it.
You don't take the dog to the basketball court.
This is the type of example, though. You know, people look up to Kirk Herbstreit. Yeah. I just want him to understand that there's a lot of people in the world that look up to him, and he needs to be a pretty good influence. And he's not. Now we got dogs urinating all over basketball courts.
That's a Pitino
that's
Kirk's,
issue. That's
not a Kirk's
problem.
You got to know what kind of a dog owner you are. Some people are dialed, right? And they have their dog on such a terrific routine. They would never think about doing something like that. You know, and that's a high level of pet ownership. That's not for the rest of us. You don't just have a dog that gets to go into public and chill out with you.
I could bring
that's a lot of work.
Right, but Kirk Herbstreit is now just normalizing.
He has. He's made it look easy.
Here. Yeah.
And it's not.
He's got a fantastic dog.
People don't have the self-awareness to know that their dog is incapable of this. So I think it still falls back on Kirk.
I don't think it does.
He's going to be at Raising Cane's, by the way, with his dog, Ben.
Damn right.
In Austin, Texas over the weekend. Stop by tomorrow to see Kirk and Ben from 11:45 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time.
You should go down the Dave Portnoy rabbit hole with his dog, Mrs. Peaches. Actually just got Mrs. Peaches a brother. So you'd love what Dave's doing over there, too.
Is his dog hosting podcasts and stuff?
Hey, he's got the dog everywhere with him. Dog's got an Instagram page and everything.
Apparently, Kirk Herbstreit's dog gets, like, actual credentials.
Yeah.
You know how Broadus brags about his Mavs credential and parking spot and stuff?
Yep.
Well, Ben, the dog,
he wears
gets the
his
same,
own credential, yeah.
Yeah, he gets the same type of treatment that you get, Broadus.
Yeah.
And on the Atlanta Falcons credential that he had, they called him a wide retriever.
Oh, that's so cute.
I love it.
Now, that's pretty good.
That is good.
That's like the one positive thing that's come out of all
of this. I think
there's
a lot of positives. I think you're a hater.
Now, I am hating a little bit because I'm disappointed. Now, tomorrow, I'm excited about this, okay? I'm going to be in Denton at the Firehouse Tour.
I'm a little jealous.
I haven't been to Denton since just a couple of weeks ago when we were dealing out flags at Whataburger.
I know. I miss Denton. I've not been back in forever. Right now, apparently, I think the square there in Denton downtown, it's a whole-on Halloween village.
Well, I will certainly stop by that.
You should. It's going to be Halloween town.
It's going to be a great time. The only problem is that means I'm missing out on our program tomorrow, which also means I'm missing out on Chili Dog Friday.
Yeah.
As Broadus came in and told me, he goes, how many chili dogs do you want for tomorrow? As if he doesn't know, I want 5.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, oh, crap, I'm not going to be here. So I am definitely bummed that I'm missing out on Chili Dog Friday with you guys.
You are
the first Chili Dog Friday of the season.
With the weather being a little cooler, yeah.
Only Denton could drag you away from that.
Yeah.
And Denton is a legendary municipality, you know, in the history of the Fan and Flagtober. I don't think anybody's done it better.
Go Mean Green, baby. We're 5-0, too.
Cleaver might be tied.
Is this a Chili Dog song?
I'll be singing this to myself all day tomorrow.
Sucking on a chili dog. 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 Chili dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a dog.
So you guys are in store for an awesome Friday, and I'm happy for you. Am I just dripping with jealousy and envy? Of course I am. When Walchuk sends me that chili dog photo, right as it is just very, very close to entering his face, I will be longing like Wolverine in his bed with the picture frame.
Yeah.
And it'll be Walchuk with a chili dog. So that's huge.
Broadus, remember you made those corn dog chili dogs at one time?
What?
Do you remember that? It was like the outside was a corn dog, and then you put like chili and cheese and onions on that damn thing. You showed out with that one, brother.
Man, I'm
hint,
trying to
hint.
Yes, it was corn dog chili dog. Not really, but I mean, if you want to do that.
How the hell did you do that?
I was just thinking about it right now. You remember the corn dog chili dogs you made? Those were fantastic, brother. You showed your ass.
Okay. I'll go back and see.
You put your foot in that damn thing, boy. I tell you what.
I know one time I did the...
The dilly dog?
I did the dilly dog with the pickle. I took the big pickle and put So it was a chili dog.
It was like a corn dog. You cut that thing open and you put some chili and cheese in there and cooked it like a chili dog.
You did I remember
like a,
this.
Wait, did I make it like a... I made it like a sandwich.
I don't know what you did. You
sounds incredible.
It kind of.
I cut it in half.
Yeah.
I split it is what I did.
Oh, my God.
I put the chili and cheese on it. Okay, we can do that.
Chili cheese corn dogs. Holy
instead
crap.
Instead of the bun?
Well, I mean, you know, you don't have to do that now. Just
yeah, you do.
He was singing about chili dogs, and it just... My mind opened
Ryan,
up.
Ryan, I'm fat again. Do it, please. Let's go.
Okay, yeah, because I think what you did, I took it in half and I made the chili, the corn dog as the bun.
This is outstanding.
Yeah.
This is high times right here.
Okay.
That is good, bro. Yeah.
That's what we'll do. We'll get that done tomorrow. We'll get that done. Yeah, sure.
That's crazy.
Obviously, you're going to go to the State Fair and get a bunch of Fletcher's corny dogs to pull it off.
Oh, I know. Longs. I have a store where I know I can get the Fletcher's dogs.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah, I got a store.
Oh, he's got a store.
How about this for bad take of the week? Speaking of corn dogs, Big Cat from Barstool, and he acknowledged the controversial nature of this particular take.
Oh, no.
But he went mini corn dogs, greater than sign, pigs
stars
in a blanket.
Stars up 1-0. I just thought I'd throw it out.
Let's go stars. Pigs in a blanket.
Stars.
What?
Or mini corn dogs. I tell you what, mini corn dogs are very slept on from the frozen food section.
He said mini corn dogs greater than sign pigs in a blanket.
I can't fight him too hard on that.
I do love mini corn dogs.
The challenge with each of them is just the low-grade mini wieners they put in both.
Right.
You know,
they're
so
Vienna sausages.
It comes down to who's got the higher-grade wiener.
Oh. You know?
Yeah. As it often does.
Yes.
And I think the pig in a I think the wiener in a blanket usually is better than the wiener in a frozen makeshift cornbread wrap, which is the mini corn dog. It's not like these are mini Fletchers hot and ready
recipe.
To go.
I got this
recipe.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Lucius.
We got it done. We got it done.
Thanks,
I'll be
buddy.
Here at noon tomorrow.
I thought I had it in my phone. I'm like, God, we need to talk. And then I do. I have it in my phone. Yeah.
Now, have you had the ones in the frozen? I think it says like State Fair or something or another. Like there's like a blue box.
I don't know. It's been years.
Better than I expected.
Okay.
I might circle back around on it. We might have to do a taste test.
I just,
next time you're back on the show.
Frozen mini corn dogs not as good as the frozen pigs in a blanket.
No,
sausage wise.
He says if both are made to perfection. I think pigs in a blanket means like I'm walking into my local donut shop that just reads donut on the front.
Oh, these
and
that's
a
collage.
I'm getting a pig in a blanket.
Yeah, the State Fair classic mini corn dogs. I think they go hard. And against a frozen kolache or frozen pig in the blanket, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I think I'd go. I think I'm with you on this though. I think that if all things are created equal, I'd rather go with the pig in a blanket.
214 says the mini corn dogs in the air fryer are pretty awesome.
Yes, that's how I do it.
I bet it's a good way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pigs in a blanket, but use a croissant. I think that's the way to go, 817.
Oh,
that's delicious right there.
See, now you're making them at home on a weekend.
Yeah.
You know, part of
Well, you can buy
family.
Those are in the frozen aisle as well.
Oh.
You know, how about the 817? There's a donut store in Fort Worth that puts two wieners in their pig in a blanket.
We're double wienering?
Well, why not? Geez, I mean, right? I like the jumbo ones.
Yeah.
Like when they do like, and usually there's maybe like a jalapeno cheddar or whatever.
Yes.
Like jumbo.
Yeah.
Bacon wrap.
Like, yeah, why
the bigger
not?
One, yeah, the bigger ones, yeah.
I do feel like a lot of the standard ones, though, there's too much roll.
Yes, I was going to say, because that helps even up the ratios between the bread and the actual pig or the blanket and the pig. So, yes, I'm with you. You could end up pulling off on a run-of-the-mill pig in a blanket. You could pull off probably 50% of that bread. And that feels like, okay, now I'm at the perfect pig to blanket ratio. So if you're doing two pigs in one blanket, you've pretty much solved that problem. Shout out to the 817.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you and some of those, they're doing so much bread, you could pack them in there. You could go three or four of them sitting in there like a sardine.
Totally, dude.
Hey, somebody on the fan text says pigs in a blanket with the croissant. Use the croissant roll.
Amen, dude.
Oh,
yeah,
dude.
That's how moms used to do it, bro.
That's what I envision a pig in a blanket, like this baby right here.
Are we always saying yes to the cheese?
Yes.
Yeah.
Always, right?
Yeah.
Like, why are we even making them without the cheese?
Yeah, what are you doing?
And at the donut shop.
Are we struggling?
Yeah, they're always warming them up for you.
Yeah, yes to the warm-up, for sure.
That time they warm them up is never consistent. It's always like a.
You think they're just guessing?
I think it's a big guess, and they're trying to get you on the road.
Yeah,
it might be 10
well,
seconds.
It
might be 12 seconds.
Different levels of strength.
I think
microwave.
It depends on the size. If they're the little ones, they kind of skip on the time. They're really not warm as they need to be.
Yeah, I always wonder how they know how much time to
they
do
don't,
it
they really
because
don't.
It's
they
dangerous really when you're dealing with a soft bread.
Yes,
you know you could tear it up
real quick.
Absolutely. I'd say if you got three in that bag, 35 seconds. That'd be my number. I'd punch in there.
You standing at their counter for 35 seconds is a nightmare to them.
Yeah.
They're like trying to move on. They want you to move on.
Yeah.
You
know,
get your
well-oiled machines.
And move on. Yeah.
And I do feel bad if they don't give me the free donut holes. Like, was I not nice enough? Did I not buy enough?
Oh, the baker's dozen?
Yeah. Like, what do I got to do for these free donut holes? You know, I think, you know, and that's kind of a floating
number, depending
on how cute your kids are.
Do you have those three or four free donut holes already consumed by the time you get to your car?
Yeah.
No, I don't need any until I'm safely underway.
It's done.
And I'll eat the whole bag before I get home.
I will have two down before I get out that door.
Yeah.
I didn't go to the donut shop. What are you talking about?
I eat donut holes like chips, or it's like five at a time. It's like handfuls, like popcorn.
Man, I wonder how many calories per donut hole.
Who cares?
70, 80?
Oh, my cardiologist.
It's insane what I'm packing.
Sorry, I'd rather not.
I'm right behind you, Woolchuck. Yeah. It's time to cross with the Fan After Dark. We'll see what Blake and Fred have coming up on their show. Coming up next right here, it's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan. Oh, they're celebrating in the Yankee dugout as they have tied the game 3-3 here in the top of the eighth inning in Cleveland. The game is now tied, the ALCS Game 3, with the Yankees leading 2-0. Aaron Judge just uncorked a two-run shot to tie the game up. And
off
we're
Emmanuel Clase, too. Judge versus Clase.
Got him. Yeah, looks like... It was a breaking ball right down the middle of the plate with very little movement on it. No break. A lot of spinning of the baseball, but did not break. And bam, there it goes. Maybe a hanging slider, you know, if you ask my professional opinion. Here's Blake and Fred. Fan After Dark, 7 to 11. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Probably just going to be Fred tonight. I've been berated twice since I've been in here, so probably just be Fred.
What have you been berated of?
You're so sensitive.
No, I'm not being sensitive.
For what?
What happened?
I brought some chicken up for my friends. I say that lightly. And I was just told my chicken wasn't up to par. I don't like to over-season it. You know, I just like to keep it healthy. You know,
bad chicken.
And one person here liked it. The other four laughed at me.
I thought it was fine.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
You didn't comment, so I'll take it, but you didn't say it was great. These two over here.
Are you not seasoning it for health reasons?
No, there is seasoning. There's just not a lot. But okay. It's more, did you watch my salt.
Did you whisper the word seasoning over it? Is that okay. What you...
So,
seasoning. Man, look, if they say there's no seasoning, I know it's got to be terrible.
I'll be frank. I was cooking for another person as well.
Did she break up with you?
I'm not that big into seasoning and salt, so I was trying to keep it light. Yeah. I threw seasoning on it myself at the house, but as you see on the Dallas fan cam,
as we taste.
it was already the prepackaged. This wasn't like a setup.
Were you cooking for Hagee?
Not for Hagee.
I mean, that's more like looking at food as fuel, not you know, for enjoyment.
Correct. And that's where I'm at.
And he acknowledged that. Handed it over. You're like, I know this sucks, but
this is just bulking. Boom. I'm not trying to. Some of us want to savor and enjoy our food.
Yeah, I know that's your big deal right now.
Honor the chicken.
That's your theme right now. Is savor.
This kind of reminds me of going the old west and going to a bar and just ordering a warm glass of whiskey.
Hey, just get her done.
Just give me the warm glass of whiskey, please.
Seasoning.
Don't know if you saw this, Brian, but you know how Jerry reached the morning news. David Moore kind of going upside his head at 5:17 p.m.
Was he really?
About an hour and a half ago, he wrote about this. What do we have? We have more fireworks.
Wow!
Look at this. 4-3 Yankees. Now with back-to-back homers.
How do you guys pronounce his first name?
Giancarlo?
Giancarlo?
Okay.
Giancarlo.
Mike.
Okay.
Giancarlo.
Giancarlo.
Where do you guys come out on the Yankees? I don't know if we've had a Yankee conversation with Blake and Fred. Are you Yankee haters? Do you kind of respect it? What do you do there?
Blake him or leave him?
I mean, I don't care about the Yankees one way or the other. I mean, you know what? I will say this. I'll give them more props for their post, you know, Hank Steinbrenner revival than you would the Cowboys, right? I mean, because that's who we kind of compare them to.
Well, they won a World Series in 09, so yeah.
Right? They're already gotten farther than the Cowboys have been.
Exactly. You know, a couple of ALCSs, World Series or so.
I can respect the greatness, but I'm not rooting for them to win.
They're saying he might have missed first base. Maybe not. Are they going to they're going to appeal?
He touched the bat.
This could be huge.
He's safe.
Yeah, he touched the bag.
And now there's going to be a fight. Both benches are going to empty here.
Maybe they should fight.
We need more fights in baseball.
If I'm Cleveland, I kind of need something, right?
You're hoping that he didn't touch that first base.
Loser has to eat the rest of Blake's chicken.
Hope you got some condiments in here.
Some of the timestamp, gentlemen, for tonight's broadcast.
We got our guy Ben Troop coming on at 9 o'clock. That's 2100 for those of you on the 24-hour clock.
Go, Gators.
You know, we were efforting for a Cowboys guest, but they poo-pooed all of us. Yeah. So
I got you. Tommy Yarish at 7:40.
Let's go.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Walchuk's Jewish brethren.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
I just assumed Yarish.
Well, of course you did.
Yarish?
Brand new on the beat.
Yarish is in.
Love it.
Lucius Alexander in the pimp cup over there at Master Control here at 75 and Fitz. Yeah, headline from David Moore. Jerry has chosen the course for Cowboy season, selling hope no longer an option.
Woo.
All the Cowboys owner can do at this stage is cling to his original talking points. That's from David Moore in the morning news.
Wow.
Okay, there's Brian Braz, former Cowboy scout, NFL executive, Woolchuck and Chiafalo. We'll be back tomorrow. Of course, the Chiefs going to be with the Sean and RJ show at the Firehouse in Denton off of 35. Go get your G-bag flag. And I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the Nation, Eddies.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.